This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 28, 2021. Palm Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Why do we do this every year? Why the palms? Why the reading of the Passion? The reading of the Passion is one thing. And if the palms were just a matter of some elementary school reenactment of something that happened in history, it would be another. But for us as Catholics, it is much more profound than that. There is reason that we do what we do. It is not just merely a simple reenactment. It is something that we do that renders Christ the King, the one who died for our sins, the one who endured what we just read. And the Gospel of Mark is probably the least detailed of all of them of what our Lord endured. And what we read there, we would not conscience to happen to an animal in our day and age when we wouldn't call the cops and have them cease the cruelty. And this is happening to the one whom spoke and all things leapt into existence, God Almighty himself, be spat upon. Most parents, there's usually a time when a youngster will spit at their parents once. That's like the deal breaker right there. That's fixed in short order. You don't tolerate that, particularly your parents. This is God Almighty enduring this for us. The reason that we do what we do with the palms is to understand that, as I said, it's a rendering of Christ, not just internal homage for what he did, but it's a public display. This is why historically there's been a procession. As short as it is for us, given our circumstance, we take it out into the public. People that are walking down the sidewalk who have to stop for us, people that are driving by wondering what the heck is going on over on the sidewalk, it's a witness. The faith can be farther from, but oh, it's Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday because we are to render Christ the King public witness of his love and mercy to us. Actually, when there was a restoration, because the Holy Week liturgy actually over centuries became really kind of obscure in its presentation of things. In some respects, it became very clerical. In other respects, you know, the people weren't really involved. You know, we hear this in our day. Oh, the Second Vatican Council, full active participation. That's not Second Vatican Council stuff. That's like St. Pope Pius X stuff. The end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century. Holy popes knew that they wanted to restore the faithful's engagement in all the aspects of the liturgy of the church, but particularly the aspects of Holy Week. Pope Pius XII. In the 1950s, there are people in this room that were well along in life in the 1950s. It wasn't a long time ago. Pius XII wrote in one of his treatises on the Holy Week liturgy, "Let the faithful be invited to partake in the procession of palms in greater numbers, thus rendering Christ the King public witness of their love and gratitude." I'm a cradle Catholic, but I was out of the church for decades. And when I first came back, I was like, oh, wait, a procession of the palms. It was, I feel sick to my stomach now. It was like, that's kind of embarrassing, really, you know, to like walk around out there, you know, people looking at you and stuff like that. How disgusting is that? It's supposed to be a public witness. Our faith isn't something we selfishly keep to ourselves. It's not faith. You're not following the Great Commission if you do that. It is supposed to be presented to others, whether they like it or not. It's particularly pointed for those who don't like it. You rattle the cage, so to speak. You present to them with these palms that we process. And, you know, not only the procession, but throughout the year. There are a lot of people grab palms, the palm crosses, the palm fronds. They put them on frames and pictures of our Lord. They put them on crucifixes. They put them on their mantles in their home. They put them around their cars. Understand why you do that. I'm a Catholic. We do Palm Sunday, and I just leave this here until next Palm Sunday when I get a fresh one. And no, every time you look at that, you are supposed to understand the depths of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. But first and foremost, His victory. His triumph. The Palm Sunday, it is the presentation to us of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. A triumphal entry that led to what? You know, for us, in our human view of things, triumph is, I win. You know, I win. I'm the hero. I get all the rewards and everything. Our Lord's triumph is something different. Our Lord Jesus Christ's triumph results in what? His triumphal entry into Jerusalem results in Passion Week. He wins, but that final fight has to be won. And that is the fight over the prince of this world and death. Our salvation is a consequence of his victory. It's ancillary to his victory. His victory came at a tremendous price. Read the Passion narrative today, and like I said, the one in St. Mark isn't particularly detailed. If you delve into, and I'm not just talking about Gospels, sit back and meditate when you talk about a human being covered with spit, punched in the face, and hit with reeds, and scourged, and have what is equal to railroad spikes driven through their wrists and feet, and hanging suspended from those points on their body for hours. I would get a kick out of the Passion, because you can always tell from up here that, gosh, we got to stand that long for that? That's a long time. It must have been all of what, 5 minutes, 7 minutes? What do you think it was like hanging on a cross for hours with nails through your wrist and through your feet? It gives us a little perspective. We need to appreciate that. And when we appreciate it, we pay homage to him for enduring what he did, because it was unnecessary for him. It was unnecessary for him. Jesus was not obliged. The second reading today, he was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. We hear that word obedience, and what does that mean, generally speaking? We're getting like a double dose of it the past year. You just do what I tell you. You just do what we say. That's obedience. Somebody tells you to do something, or they make you do something, and you do it. Our Lord's obedience wasn't anything like that. Nobody makes him do anything. He does what he wants because he's God. It's kind of hard to believe that he wanted this that we heard described today to happen to him. That's the whole reason he's Jesus. There is very few things definitively that I can say up here that always, 100%, guess what? Should the Lord tarry? Every single one of us in this place is going to die. Every single one. Why do you have to die? Because you were born. Everybody knows that's simple. Well, it is simple in some respects. It's kind of deep in other respects. We have to die because of the results of original sin. Because before the fall of Adam and Eve, we weren't supposed to die. We die because they sinned, and it's a consequence that's handed down to us. Because of original sin and actual sins, because we were born, we have to die. You can't avoid it. You could be a multi-billionaire, and you're not avoiding it. You're going to die just like the poorest person on the face of this planet. All things are equal when you breathe your last, and it's going to happen. You have to die. The second person of the Trinity did not have to. We have to die because we were born. He was born because he wanted to die. What we shun, what we despise even thinking about our death, we can't conceive of our death because why? We're the center of the universe. How could this place possibly plod along without me being around? We can't conceive of that. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to die. He died because he wanted to. What we shun and despise, this is his obedience. This is why we do him homage, because he didn't have to do what he did. I mean, he proved that time and time again in his earthly ministry. How many times have we, and they went to seize him. They're going to cast him off, take him out of the city and cast him off a cliff. They're going to arrest him, and he just goes away. They don't lay a hand. Why? Because it wasn't his time. Even when they came and got him, whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I'm he. Fall on her face. They get up. Yeah, once would have been enough for me. Whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I'm he. And again, like, that was no accident the first time. You're going to take me because I'm going to let you take me. What we despise, death, Jesus Christ embraced. And not because he had to, because he wanted to. This is why we pay him homage. This is why the Father demands that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I like the Philippians reading. It's one of my favorites. It's interesting, yeah, that churchy ways, but every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. We could put that in more colloquial and simple terms. Every spiritual being, these glorious things we call angels in heaven, whom he did not have to die for because they were made in perfection and they never fell, they're going to pay him homage for what he did, because they're overwhelmed by the love that he shows to us. So every angel in heaven is going to bend the knee and their tongue is going to confess Jesus as Lord. Every person who has ever is living or ever will live on this planet, whether they love him or hate him, whether they want to or not, is going to pay him homage. Under the earth, every tongue in hell. Well, the people in hell, they didn't love him, and that's why they're in hell. This is how much homage the Father wants paid to his Son, that even those in hell are going to pay him homage, whether they want to or not. You will either reverently and willingly pay homage to Jesus Christ, or he will make you. And if he makes you, then you don't even get the benefit of heaven. You will pay him homage and you don't want to, and you go for the rest of eternity separated from him, hating him even more and more every moment of every day of eternity, because you know what he did and you just didn't embrace it. And they're going to blame shift. This is the reality. This is why we do what we do with the palms. Jesus didn't have to do it. He wasn't obliged to do it. The Father didn't make him get on the cross. He did it because he wanted to. This is why we honor him the way we do. This is what you should think about when you look at the palms throughout the year as they dry up on the picture frames and on your dashboards of your cars and things like that. They're there for a reason. They mean something. They mean something that we really can't comprehend or get our heads around. However, the meaning of his victory over Satan and death is why we get to go to heaven. So when you see that ever drying out palm frond of it, know that his victory is complete. His victory is complete, as I said, and we will either willingly and reverently give homage to him, or we will pay homage to him because we are obliged to do it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.